Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. I don't know about you, but for myself, I am always getting confused with my Websters. Mostly, Daniel Webster and Noah Webster. If you're like me and you have a hard time keeping those guys straight, Daniel Webster was a preacher and Noah Webster was the dictionary dude. Learning about people throughout history is always fun. Today's story comes as a suggestion from John. I don't really remember how we got talking about the 1938 book, The Five Chinese Brothers, written by Claire Hutchett Bishop the other day, but I went in search of the story that it is based on. I couldn't find it, but John said,
"If you can't find the story, Dad, you can just do one of the biographies you wanted to do."
So today, we read a short biography about Daniel Webster, who is the preacher guy, which comes to us from the book, The Children's Book of American Biography, written by Mary Stoyle Stimson. As I wrap up this opening segment, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully you will enjoy your time with your family and friends. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin. Daniel Webster. Before New England became such a busy, hurried sort of a place, say 100 years ago, its men and women had time to listen to sermons that were more than an hour long, or to lecturers who talked 3 or 4 hours. When a public speaker used very fine words and could keep the people who listened to him wide awake and eager to hear more, he was called a great orator. An orator who dazzled our grandfathers and grandmothers was named Daniel Webster. He has been dead a long time, but the public speeches he made will never be forgotten. Down in the business part of Boston can be seen on a large building a tablet which reads, "The Home of Daniel Webster." On the terraced lawn of Massachusetts State House stands a bronze statue of Daniel Webster. And in old Faneuil Hall, Boston, which is called the Cradle of Liberty, there is a huge painting as long as a streetcar, which is called Webster's Reply to Hayne. In this picture, there are the portraits of 130 senators and other men, but all of them are watching Daniel Webster. This is a picture well worth seeing, and Webster was well worth hearing. Daniel Webster was born in New Hampshire. When he was a year old, his parents moved onto a farm which they called the Elms, on account of the fine old trees which grew there. The older Webster boys did all kinds of heavy work, but as Daniel was not very strong, he was petted, and as he grew up, was asked to do only very light work. He rode the plow horse in the fields, drove the cows to pasture, and tended logs in his father's sawmill. When he was sent to do this last, he always took a book along, because it took 20 minutes for the saw to work its teeth through one of the tree trunks, and he could not bear to waste all that time. He learned to read from his mother and sister almost as soon as he could talk, and he pored over the Bible for hours at a time. Daniel's father kept the tavern, besides carrying on his farm. The teamsters who got their dinners there used to ask Daniel to read to them. His voice was deep and musical, and it gave such meaning to the words of the Bible that they thought him a wonder. His eyes were like black velvet, and his hair was as black and shiny as the feathers of a crow. Everyone called him Little Black Dan. Daniel read everything he could find, and could recite whole poems and chapters of books when he was quite small. At a country store, just across the road from his father's tavern, he bought a cotton pocket handkerchief on which the Constitution of the United States was printed. After looking at the eagles and flags, which were printed as a border, he sat down under one of the giant elm trees and learned by heart every word printed there. Daniel liked to wander along the banks of the Merrimack River, and as he played in the fields and woods, he learned a great deal about animals and plants. Robert Wise taught him to fish for the salmon and shad that were plenty about there. Robert Wise was an old English sailor who lived with his wife in a cottage on the Webster farm. He told Daniel famous stories of the strange countries he had sailed to. This man could not read, so he felt well repaid for carrying Little Black Dan on his shoulder or paddling him up and down streams half a day at a time if the boy would go after supper to his cottage and read aloud to him from books or newspapers. Daniel loved all outdoor beauty, the sun, moon, and stars, the ocean, and the wind. In almost every one of the great speeches that he made, as a middle-aged or old man, he mentioned them. In the state of New Hampshire, when Daniel was a boy, teachers and schools were scarce. A man or a woman would teach a few weeks in one town and then move on to another. They were called traveling teachers. This was done because there were not anywhere near enough teachers to go round, and it was thought only fair that each little village or town should get its few weeks. Daniel followed these traveling teachers a long time every year, sometimes walking 2 or 3 miles a day, at other times boarding away from home. Nothing was taught in these schools but reading and writing. Daniel was an almost perfect reader, but a poor writer. One of Daniel's teachers wanted his pupils to know good poems and chapters of books by heart. He offered a prize, a jackknife, to the one who should learn the most verses from the Bible. One after another was called upon to recite. They had found it rather hard, and many of them had learned but 8 or 10 verses at the most. When it was Daniel's turn, he recited chapter after chapter. He kept on and on until it was time for the teacher to dismiss school. Mr. Tappan said, "Well, there is no doubt you deserve the prize. How many more chapters did you learn?" "Oh, a lot more," answered Dan, laughing. After Daniel was 12, he began to grow stronger and did his share of work on the farm. One day, when he was helping his father in the hayfield, Mr. Webster said, "Daniel, it is the men who have fine educations that succeed in this world. I do not intend that you shall be a drudge all your days. I am going to send you through college." Daniel was so pleased at this that he sat right down on the hay and cried. When Daniel was fitting for college at Exeter, he was about the brightest pupil there, but it did seem funny that the boy who was one day to become a great orator could not then declaim or recite before the school. He would learn the nicest pieces and practice them in his own room, but when he stood up before all the scholars and teachers, his courage left him. Sometimes, when his name was called, he could not rise from his seat. He was very much ashamed of himself and shed a good many tears over his shyness. But he persevered and finally did better than any of the boys. There is nothing like trying things enough times. When Daniel went to Dartmouth College, he rode there on horseback, carrying his feather bed, blankets, clothes, and books on his horse. He was still such a dark-looking person that the students thought he was an Indian. Daniel studied law and made very fine pleas in the courtrooms. He was a senator in Congress, a secretary of state, and a public speaker who was admired in England as well as in America. Mr. Webster had a wife and children. He bought a large estate at Marshfield in Massachusetts, where the family spent many summers. He loved children and animals, was kind to the poor, and bought the freedom of several slaves. He was very neat in dress. His favorite costume for court and senate was a blue coat with brass buttons, a buff waistcoat, and black trousers. Daniel Webster always liked to look up old friends and was never cold or haughty to anyone. Once, when he was going through the West making famous speeches in the different cities, a man crowded forward to speak to him, saying, "Why, is this little black Dan that used to water my horses?" The dignified orator did not mind a bit. "Yes," he laughed, "I'm little black Dan grown up." Daniel was a good son to the father, who had tried hard to make him a fine scholar. Only once did he disappoint him. That was when he refused to be clerk of court. When his father begged him to take that place, he said, "No, father, I am going to use my tongue in courts, not my pen. I mean to be an orator." He proved to be one of America's great ones.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes, and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.